Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Happy, happy, happy holidays to each and every one of you. Whether you're at home or at business, taking a break, in the car, happy holidays to all of you. Merry Christmas. To those of you who celebrate Hanukkah, I know that has already had its wonderful time, and now it's Christmas time. So be safe in your travels, be safe at home, and just enjoy. As people know, I've had a couple of friends pass this week. They both passed on Tuesday. My advice is to look around the room, the people, and don't be shy about how you feel. Tell them how much you love them. You're never too late to say something like that. Never. All right. Well, our play-by-play call of the day is a fun one. 49 years ago today, Three Rivers Stadium.
Last chance for the Steelers. Bradshaw trying to get away. And his pass is broken up by Tatum. Tipped off. Rachel Harris has it. And he's over. Look! Rachel Harris. Grabbed the ball on a deflection. 5 seconds to go. He grabbed it with 5 seconds to go and scored.
Let's watch this again.
1 million to 1 odds on this one.
Watch this. Ricochet. Ricochet out there off of Jack Tatum and into the man of the year, Franco Harris's hands.
Kirk Gowdy and Al DeRogatis with the call on NBC 49 years ago today. On Jack Ham's birthday, no less. Yes, Jack's birthday is today. It's funny, you know, I don't sit there and often talk to Jack. I mean, we usually talk about a lot of Jack's teammates, some of which I've had a chance to know over time, which has been a lot of fun. But we were at dinner one day, and I think it was Jeff Tarman that brought it up. And he said, you know, the immaculate reception. Jack said, I never saw it. I was sitting on the back bench. So I never saw the play. So all of a sudden, I hear everybody going crazy, and I get up. I'm like, oh, he's in the end zone. We're going to win? We're going to the AFC Championship game against the Dolphins? Really? He didn't see the play? Amazing. 49 years ago today, and the call of Kirk Gowdy and Al DeRogatis, two of the greats. I'm watching some of this ESPN Bowl Week stuff. So far, there aren't any Kirk Gowdy's or Al DeRogatis's out there, but that's okay. Woo! That's what I always tell everybody all the time. Bowl 2.5, 3 weeks, and championship week in college basketball, unfortunately, showcases ESPN's lack of depth in certain areas. Top people are outstanding. Top people are great. But it does expose the lack of depth in other areas. Topic for another day. All right. So let's get to Penn State football. Joining us on the Screen Times Tribune, our good friend Donnie Collins. Donnie, great to have you back.
Great to be here, Steve.
All right. So let's start with the Texas A&M situation. You knew it was a possibility, but they've now, because of COVID, opted out of the Gator Bowl, and the Gator Bowl is desperately trying to find somebody to replace them. It's not as easy as people think because people haven't been practicing. And they're all scattered all over the country. What was your thought when you heard about this?
It's going to be... I don't know. There's just so many different things that are possible these days. It's hard to say. Oh, that's a surprising situation because it could happen. But it's just I don't know how they go forward here. It's going to be interesting to see how they make it happen. I think they will. But I just don't know. You know, where do you go? Everything's off the table now. Nothing seems to make any sense in the world anymore. And you know, I don't know.
Yeah, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Nobody knows because I mean, like we're now crossing bridges that weren't built, so we don't even know.
There's no playbook for any of this.
No.
You're placing with ones. You take from one, to give to another. That doesn't make. It's just a brutal situation for everybody.
All right, so now let's flip this over to Penn State because right now Penn State, for Penn State right now, this is the off time. They practice Sunday morning and they don't practice again until Sunday night. Let's get to Sean Clifford. He is going to have his offensive coordinator for a second consecutive year. Can you put a price on that?
I don't know. I would think you can't because on the surface the kids had how many different offensive coordinators now, and you know this will be it's been tough for them. Now you know for the first time really since he's been a player and at the helm of the Penn State offense, he's going to have the same offense. That's got to be a major boost, and I would think that. That's invaluable to Penn State, and I know for you know you're just looking over the possibilities at the end of the year. Everyone was asking the question: Do you think Clifford should come back? If you're Penn State, do you want him back? And I thought that was a weird question because obviously you want your quarterback back, especially off a good season. And I think he had a good season, and I think he learned a lot under Yurcich, and there was some development there, and I think there'll be a lot of development next year with him. So I think that's a win-win for Penn State, especially assuming you get that combination back. I mean, I think everybody assumes they will, but I would think you would get a better Clifford. You get a better Penn State offense overall anyway because now that's your offense. But I would think that you know if Clifford is the guy coming back for his second year, this would be the year you would see the most improvement from Sean.
Jair Brown announced yesterday officially that he is going to come back for the 2022 season. What kind of impact can he have?
That's the worst kept secret in state college.
I
think he admitted 10 times during the year he was coming back.
I know.
But the Lackawanna guys are amazing to me because they don't go before they're ready. They stick around and they leave on their terms. When it's good for the program, and so I think he's really following the Brisker blueprint from last year, where he came back when everybody thought he could get drafted, and still made plenty of strides last year. I think, I think it's very easy to compare those two guys, Brisker and Brown, because of where they came from, but I think they're two very different players, and you know I saw a lot of. This year with Poindexter coaching him up, I thought Jair Brown made a lot of strides. Again, his second year in that system. But I would expect him to make a big jump even next year. He's always around the ball. He plays with great instincts. And I think that only improves, coming back with that second full year playing all the time. I think he's going to be, and you could argue maybe next year, the leader of that defense.
Yeah, I think he's got to be one of the leaders of the defense. A pairing, and we'll see this in the bowl game, Keaton Ellis made the move from corner to safety. When we finally got to November, what were you seeing in Keaton Ellis in that safety spot?
Comfort. When he got out there early in the year, it looked like he was feeling his way through it. It's the old Joe Paterno used to say, and every coach says it, I guess, but he was the first whoever I heard it from. Once you're comfortable, you can play fast. Right? I didn't think Keaton Ellis was playing very fast last year, at the beginning of the year. And I think as the more he got in there and the more he was used, the more noticeable it was that he was playing a lot faster at safety. And I think, yeah, to me, it's tough. That's one thing that I totally rely on coaches with, even after all these years watching football games. Well, you know, why is this guy a safety and not a cornerback anymore?
Right.
But you started to see it a little bit with Ellis. He's a pretty good center fielder. He plays that spot kind of like Brisker does. You know, he's got good instincts. He knows what he knows the system very well. I think you need a guy like that at that position who's not going to make very many critical mistakes, because that's a position that lends itself to mistakes. You can make the wrong decision and it's a big play. It's not a little play. You're letting up 40, 50 yards. As Brisker did early in his career, though, he went up a few too many of those, but he didn't last year. And I think Ellis will kind of slide into that role, and once he understands his responsibilities, which I think he did kind of at the midseason point. I thought he played a lot better, but you know, they have some options there for next season. But I think Ellis clearly is going to get the first shot at it, and soon.
Brandon Smith and Ellis Brooks have officially opted to enter the NFL draft. How interested are you now to see how the linebacking plays out?
Well, I think that's a major story now. Ellis Brooks especially, he played so steadily for the last two seasons, and I think he's been a really good middle linebacker for them. And the middle linebacker, they don't lend themselves to a lot of hype or a lot of the spotlight, but he certainly played very well for the last 2 years, I thought. And who's going to step in for him is going to be a major question. Yeah, I think there's a case you can move Luketta back, but I wouldn't do that because you're going to need Luketta at defensive end. You're going to need Luketta to do what he did. So, yeah, I think that it's going to be, you know, with Elston, I think they like him a lot. I've heard a lot of good things about him. I think he'll probably step in and do a capable job, and get better as he learns. But yeah, that's a position I think everybody should be watching now, because you know, who knows, they lose a lot of athleticism at the very least with Brandon Smith. I think he had some really good moments and some not so great moments. But you know, I think that they're going to have to find a way to replace some athleticism at that level, that you know, now that he's out of there, that the coaches did have to worry about on the opposing sideline.
I assume that when Manny Diaz had his presser the other day, that you were a part of it. What were your takeaways from it?
Yeah, I thought he was slick, not in a bad way. I thought that was a very interesting press conference from him. He spoke like a head coach, which he was 28. It makes sense, but he's a very, very confident guy. I talked to Jair that day, and he said, you know, he walked into our team meeting and, you know, kind of had the hand in the pocket and the chest puffed out and the hair slicked back, and came in there and, you know, it was intimidating to those guys to see that kind of attitude coming out of the new defensive coordinator, the guy who was just walking in. It kind of reminded me of like that kind of Pat Riley vibe from the Lakers days, where it's, you know, it's his show now and he's going to take him to another level, and he's confident he can do it, and he knows his system works, and you know, you're either on board or you're not. But you know, he really articulated it very well. I thought when he got the Temple question second, in that press conference, and answered it as completely and honestly and as thoroughly as he did, I thought that kind of set the tone for that whole press conference, and maybe even set the tone for his whole tenure here if it's successful, because I think he won over a lot of people that day. There's this whole stigma, I think, still with he was the Miami coach, and it's different at Miami, but I'm not sure how different it is at Miami than it is everywhere else now with personalities and the way social media is and how popular all these guys are. So I think Penn State really, number one, could use an old head coach, an old Power 5 head coach on the staff. I think that's going to help them. And number two, I think they need that attitude. Hey, I think they need that swagger going into a season that's going to be a season of change a little bit for them on the defensive side of the ball. So I think he's, I'm, I don't know, I, you know, maybe he sold me, but I think he's a guy who can affect some positive change really quickly. And I wasn't sure maybe at the beginning that was a guarantee, but I think now, you know, that's a pretty solid bet.
It's interesting because I've loosely talked about this with Micah Shrewsbury about that move from one chair and now you're sitting in that chair. It's only one chair over, but it's not the same chair. James Franklin now has somebody else on the staff that has been a head coach in Power Five. How important is it that now he can talk to somebody that has sat in that chair?
I think it's vital. I think to have somebody to throw ideas off of, and not that he didn't. I mean, he probably threw ideas off of Brent and got
sure.
good feedback. And Brent has been a head coach, quality coach, for a while now.
No doubt.
So I don't know that he didn't have that guy, but that now for sure have that kind of guy. This is not foreign at Penn State. You know, Ted Roof was the head coach at Duke,
right?
And Galen Hall was a head coach. So I mean, they've had assistants, mm-hmm. they've had coordinators who've been head coaches. But I think it's a little different in this case where you're a program that's at the 1 yard line, and you want to get over that goal line to be a perennial contender and a really strong force. I think you need that voice. I think you need the guy who's been at that level and could say, hey, here's how we looked at it when we played Clemson. Here's how we did it when we played in the Sun Bowl. Here's how we recruited. Here's how we wanted to build. Here's how we took the defense from a B-plus defense to an A defense at Miami in my first year. I think that he's a guy who can bring that. I know everybody, well, you know, the Ohio State hired when they got Jim Knowles, but he doesn't have that kind of experience as a head coach. I think that makes Manny a little bit of a home run hire for Kent State potentially, because mm-hmm. he does have that voice. And just talking to him, I think he will not be afraid to use that voice.
Is the bowl game the last game of 21 or the first one of 22?
First one in 22. I mean, unless you're playing for the championship,
right.
I've always thought that it's always the first one in 22. And look, I don't go way back with Penn State football. But I remember in the early 90s when they played in the Citrus Bowl against Tennessee and whipped them, yeah. and that set up the whole. That was the first game in 1994.
Yeah.
Because that's when you realize, hey, they're going to be a force next year. So I do think it sets a tone. I think the Cotton Bowl would have set a tone in 2020. In a different world,
yep.
I think the Cotton Bowl would have been that for the 2020 season when they start, when they were a top 10 team. So I think you haven't seen it lately, and fans in recent years haven't had that kind of an experience with it. But yeah, I think potentially for next season is a major game. I mean, especially when you consider they're going to be breaking in a couple of linebackers,
mm-hmm.
and Ellis, and a lot of guys sitting in on defense who are going to have to play next year, right? and maybe didn't necessarily play this year. I think this is definitely a really good experience heading into 2022.
Donnie, always a pleasure. Happy holidays to you and your great family, and appreciate you very much.
Same to you guys, Steve. Thanks so much for having me.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune. We will come back with more in a moment. Our picks in the final half hour here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. All right, great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street, and a great service department, inspections, routine, whatever it may be. It's all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. We won't have a show tomorrow, so we want to remind everybody about Brewer's Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and out every day. The pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. And here's one for you last-second shoppers who are looking around saying, I need a solution. a Brewers Outlet gift card. Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Picks of the final half hour. Matt texted me his picks. Boy, they're really bad. All right, here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory, great pre-owned inventory, all at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. And not only that, an awesome service department. So there we go. All right. Here we go. There we go. There you go. Here's our guy right here. Well, Merry Christmas to you. Do I have him here? I think I do. Oh, wait, I got to do that. There we go. Now I got you.
Okay.
There we go.
Yep. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
I'm glad you called, man. I didn't think I could find was going to call Kathy.
she doesn't know the number in here either.
Oh, okay.
So, I always have to give people the studio number is different than, and the sequence of numbers for it's different too than anything else anybody will find. Also today brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere, wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. Oh, and by the way, here we are with 24 hours to go before we hit Christmas Eve at 6 o'clock, just about 25 hours to go. And you may need a last-second gift idea. How about a Brewers Outlet gift card? Yeah. That'll solve a lot of angst and also make the person that receives it happy. All right, so there you go. He's on. Welcome, sir.
How are you?
I am doing fine, as a matter of fact.
COVID-free?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I've had two basketball games missed.
Yeah, I saw that.
But I will say this. I mean, you're always looking. I mean, I suppose I can text anybody in the staff and ask them what the deal is, which at some point I probably will. But I sat down today to check the scout tape, and they put up a scout tape for Delaware State, which is the next game next Wednesday. I don't think you put that up unless you have an intention to play. So
that's good.
Yeah, and then should they play on Wednesday night, I will then hit the road Thursday morning at 8, get to Tampa about 1, and pick up my credentials and so forth on that Thursday, and then Friday go to practice, and then Saturday will be the game. And then as soon as the game's over, I've got a 10 o'clock flight back because I've got a game with Indiana in the second at 4 o'clock here.
Wow. You're all over the place.
Ah, no. It's what I do, man.
I'll be here.
This is what I do. Yeah, so
I
this
drive
is
from here to stores.
Yeah.
And then to Enfield, then here to stores to Enfield, and here to stores to Enfield.
Well, actually, you know what we're going to eventually need, not this second, obviously, but the kids always ask me what your address is because they want to send you cards and things like that. So
Penrod Circle.
Yeah. I will get that from you later.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't care about it. It would tell me anything.
I'm just saying.
I'm saying it over the air. I don't care.
Yeah, but saying it over the air doesn't help me. I have to have it written down.
Okay.
I don't have a pen on me.
I'll send you an email. No, I'll send you an email.
Okay. That way, in the future, they have it. So they always want to stay in touch with you.
We live on a little ridge.
Yeah.
So, boy, the Enfield people are a real nightmare, I'm telling you.
Why is that?
Oh, the garage is filled with their stuff.
The people that are in the house.
Well, they're out, you know.
Yeah.
But all their stuff, they showed up. I'm raking the yard. He left 4 years of leaves there.
Right.
I took 4 truckloads of leaves out of there, and I got a big truck with a cap on it.
Right.
And I'm raking, and they show up. I think we have COVID. I'm like, oh, my God. I'm like, you have to understand they had to be out in 35 days or it went to court.
Right.
So they got out on the 34th day. Okay.
Naturally.
So I said, okay, I'll waive it, you know. And now the 34th day was the day before Thanksgiving.
Right.
All their stuff is still in the garage.
Of course.
Yeah, and the backyard.
Yeah, of course.
It's unbelievable, Steve. I would never do this again. It's costing us a fortune. But we're taking wallpaper down, and the real estate agent said the wallpaper's got to go. Poor mom.
I remember when it was put up. Now, but what happens...
Well, this is a new one. You saw the new stuff.
Right.
Yeah, the roses.
Yep.
In the bedroom.
Yep.
So we got a couple walls down, but we got to hire somebody to come in.
Because the people rest. Today, what they want when they sell, they want painted walls. They don't want wallpaper.
Absolutely. They want it neutral so they can make it whatever color they want.
Right.
I mean,
exactly.
The house is really dated, you know. I'll say this. The people did not destroy the house at all.
That's good.
They're just hoarders. They have an unbelievable amount of stuff. But what I saw last week, I don't... Do you mind talking about this? It's not sports, but it's kind of sports. Our dartboard is still hanging up.
It still is? Really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
That's funny.
Our dartboard and the chalk on the walls where we like drew a catcher or something. That's all still there.
I don't know how many of the hard rubber baseballs that I threw against that wall. That's one thing. I could always field. Always could field. And the reason I could was because I could throw the ball off the wall, and boom, I was every kind of bounce I would get.
Well, I don't think your listeners know what a good athlete you were. You were a great first baseman.
Oh, thank you.
Great first baseman. A good hitter, solid, good football player. I'm talking to your listeners, perfect football form. Your technique was perfect, which made you very good.
That's nice of you to say.
Well, it was. You had great technique. I mean, you were an offensive lineman. I couldn't play offensive line. I was just too... I could play defense.
Yeah.
But offense, I was horrible on the offensive line. You were great. We had a good team that year.
Yeah, we did. We won our last 5 games.
Yeah, I think it was one of the best teams on field.
Actually, it probably is true. Because the only games we lost by 5 points to the 12th ranked team in the state.
Yep.
We lost by, let's see. The number 2 ranked team in the state blew us out. That was Hall.
Remember they showed up with like 4 buses?
Yeah, we're like,
we had like 25 guys.
We're looking around like, oh my goodness, what are we in for?
Yeah, it was a Monday afternoon.
We lost by 5 points to the 12th ranked team. We lost by 3 points to the 7th ranked team. We beat everybody else.
Yep. So were you there? I don't know if it was a year after when we played Connard High School. I don't know if it was my senior year.
Connard,
or my junior
we
year.
Played late in the season my senior year.
Yeah, I don't remember because we played them, and they had the. I think it was my senior year. I was a year behind you. And they had the best running game in football in the state. And we outcoached them. The coaches had the defensive line just crawl. Hut, hut, and we were on all 4 scores and just crawl. They made a great big pile at every play, and they couldn't run, and we won the game.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah, it worked. I never forgot that. I was like, certain things stick in my mind. When I went to Marietta College and I watched, they had a good baseball program there. Kent Tekulve went there.
Tekulve is an awesome guy, man. I'll tell you right now. Ken is great. I really like Ken personally.
Yeah. I watched the guy bunt. He bunts down the first base line, and he's running, and the first baseman feels it, and there's a guy on third base. Well, the guy who bunted the ball run at the first baseman goes to tag him. He turns around and runs back to home plate. and the first baseman froze. He didn't know what to do. He had no idea, and Marietta scored. I've never seen anyone do that.
And that happened in a Pirates game this year against the Cubs.
Really?
Yes. And the Cubs got away with it. Ran back to home plate, and Will Craig, the first baseman, went and like looked around like, what do I do? It's like, Will, run to first base and tag the bag.
Exactly.
All right.
Okay. He ends up chasing the guy back the home plate. Everybody's safe.
Yeah, you know? And that's what happened in this one.
Yep.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with our picks in a moment. Brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Let's get to the picks for the week. Now, Matt texted me his picks. They're all really bad. So, I guess you have the list of games, right?
Yeah, I got the list of games. I've also got where we stand on the bowl picks.
Oh, good.
Which this is unofficial, but I'm 8-4. Matt is 8-4, and you're 5-7.
No, the college football expert.
Who knows?
By the way, North Texas leads Miami of Ohio 14-13. That's the one where Joe Green, North Texas grad, and Ben Roethlisberger, Miami of Ohio grad, I guess they have a bet on the game. So,
oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I got North Texas. You guys got...
I got Miami.
Miami, yeah.
Yep. So. And then tonight's a good game. I mean, I know there's an NFL game tonight.
Yeah.
The Niners in Tennessee, which is pretty good. But Central Florida's playing Florida tonight, so... And Rutgers, by the way, is going to play Wake Forest in the Gator Bowl. They're going to replace Texas A&M. So.
Oh, good.
Yep.
The other thing that's happening is like Pittsburgh's quarterback's not playing. You know?
Pickett, yeah, no.
Yeah, and I took Pitt. You know? And,
well, it's okay because Kenneth Walker's not going to, the running back is not going to play for Michigan State.
Oh, okay.
Now, I will say this. The backup running back for Michigan State is a better player than the backup quarterback for Pitt. Simmons.
Yeah, backup quarterback. That's a tough goal. He hadn't played at all.
No. He's 12 of 14 in games that they were either getting blown out or they blew out.
Right.
All right, so what do we got here? We got all NFL games. So let's start with the Niners at Tennessee, Nashville tonight.
I got San Fran.
So do I, and so does Matt.
All right.
Indianapolis is at Arizona. Arizona coming off a sterling loss to Detroit. And the odd part is they actually play better on the road.
I couldn't believe that. I got Indy.
So does Matt. He has Indy. And I'll take Indy.
Indy's very good.
Yes.
Very good.
There's the quarterback.
Running back just takes the game over.
You know what? My only concern about him as a running back, my only concern, because obviously he played against Penn State.
Yeah.
And my only concern was the amount of carries he had at Wisconsin. Sometimes you wonder if you've maxed out the carries on a guy.
Yeah.
And to his credit, he just keeps on going.
Yeah, he's one of those guys who gets hit and just bounces right back up again. He's a tough kid.
Yeah,
I mean, he's got it all. He can take it up the middle or he can take it outside, and he's the fastest guy in the field. So,
well, when he gets in the secondary, I mean, he gets into the secondary.
Yeah.
New England at home with Buffalo.
That's a big game.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, Buffalo's mad about that other game with the Patriots only threw the ball three times.
Yeah.
I got New England. I think New England's just a better football team.
Matt's got New England. I'm going to take Buffalo.
Good pick.
Okay, I'm going to roll it and see what happens.
Oh, they're very bad.
The Steelers are at Kansas City at Arrowhead. The Steelers will not have Bush, the linebacker, because of COVID, but Tyreek Hill is currently in protocols for COVID for Kansas City. So he'd have to test negative. He'd have to test, so is Travis Kelce. He'd have to test negative before the game. So here we go. Steelers, Kansas City. Matt's going to go with Kansas City.
I got KC.
I've got KC as well. Miami is at New Orleans. Now, it sounds like Miami's in good shape, but Taysom Hill is on the COVID list, Trevor Siemian's on the COVID list, and Ian Book will start at quarterback for New Orleans.
I got Miami.
So does Matt. He's got Miami. I'm going to go with New Orleans. Lambeau, Saturday, Christmas Day, 4:30. You've had enough of everybody around you. You want to watch football. So you're going to watch
Green.
So it's on Fox. This game's on Fox. The Browns and the Packers. So Matt's going with Green Bay.
I got the Pack.
Oh, I do too. I think Aaron Rodgers is just. And you know what? It's interesting now how much Rodgers seems to be appreciating the GM, Brian Gutekunst.
It seems like nothing even happened. I mean, people forget all the, you know, stuff that was going on before the season.
Drama. Hey,
everybody seems happy.
Yeah.
You know? He's hugging the coach, and the coach is hugging him. And,
I'll tell you right now, you're 11-3. Everybody's hugging everybody.
Hey, they had us back, too, with the COVID thing.
Yeah, they did.
Care of them.
Yep, that helped.
Yep.
So we're all going with Green Bay. Denver is at Las Vegas. Nothing like Christmas weekend in Las Vegas.
That's a tough one. Yeah.
It is you're the one that put it down here. These are your games.
Yeah, I know.
It's a tough game. This is a tough game. Now, Matt picked Las Vegas.
They're so helter-skelter. Just to switch it up, I'll take Denver.
Yeah, you know what? I don't really know what to do with this one. So I'm going to go with Las Vegas because, I mean, obviously I've been the one that's been different on the picks today.
Yeah.
So I'll go with Las Vegas on that one. Rams at Minnesota. Okay. Playing in the Viking ship. Matt goes with the Rams.
Yeah, I got to take the Rams. Minnesota is too helter-skelter. I've never seen a team that leads the entire game and loses the game.
Yeah, fourth quarter. Dalvin Cook, by the way, is on the COVID list. The Rams are now getting players back from the COVID. See, that's something that's never talked about. That's what gets me about this. It's on the COVID list. It's on the COVID list. Okay, why don't you start reporting on the guys that are now off the COVID list?
Right.
Like, for example, the Knicks, they got Barrett back and they got Obi Toppin back. Oh, I didn't know that. That's because it never gets reported. All right. Well, the Rams are getting guys back on the from the COVID list. Taylor Heineke, the quarterback for Washington, is back. He'll play this weekend. He'll play against the Cowboys. In fact, they got four guys back from the COVID list. These things go in cycles like this, and it's like people don't take that into account. It's not reported enough.
Crazy. The COVID thing is just, I don't know. Hopefully next year at this time it's done. But I don't know. We said that last year.
Yeah.
I presume you got the Rams.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams.
Yeah.
Taking the Rams. They're starting to play pretty good football. Not great, but they're starting to play pretty good football.
They got the players. You know, if they play their A game and don't make mistakes, they're a hard out. They're a real hard out. That Donald just can break a game in half.
Donald's very, very good. I think he's had a very good season. Not as great as other seasons he's had. He's been very good. Look, the Rams, who have just taken their draft capital and they've flushed it, because I think that Stan Kroenke, the owner, understands the market. In Los Angeles, you can't be building. You have to be at the top. The Dodgers are at or near the top.
Yep.
The Lakers are at or near the top. The Kings have won a couple of Stanley Cups, so they've been at or near the top. The Angels haven't been.
No.
Right? The Chargers, of course, the Chargers are a complete afterthought.
Well, if they keep winning, they've got the star quarterback that people will come out to see.
But you know what? You watch a Chargers game, and there's more of the other team's fans in the seats.
Yeah. Well, you got to give the transition move a couple more years. You know, they don't really have a fan base in L.A.
Their fan base is
in San Diego.
Right. So. Exactly. And they're not driving up to watch them. They're mad at them.
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't be happy. I'd be like, man, why didn't it's like when the Whalers?
Oh, do you think I follow you? I want the Carolina Hurricanes to lose every game.
Yeah, I was like, and it couldn't be worse for us because it's the only professional team we have.
Exactly.
And they leave to win a Stanley Cup the next year. You're like, you've got to be kidding.
You got to be kidding me. I know.
We would have had a Stanley Cup in Hartford.
Yep. Hey, Miami of Ohio now leads North Texas 20-14 with a minute 22 to go in the half.
Oh,
go, Red Hawks, go! Hey, Merry Christmas, brother.
Merry Christmas. Love you.
Yeah, love you too, man.
Okay.
Love you too.
All right, you stay safe.
Tell Claire I said Merry Christmas. I love
you. I will. Tell the whole family
I will.
Hi and Merry Christmas. So.
And to our great audience, Merry Christmas. Be safe. Tony, great job today. Great to have you with us today. Brought to you by Sunbury Motors and Brewers Outlet. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle's worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.